Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of John, chapter 1. Would you please stand as we read the first five verses of the book of John? Let it be known right from the beginning that Jesus Christ is God. Amen. And that He was willing to come and live as a man so that He could die for us. In the beginning was the Word. It's another name for Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for the great sacrifice that God was willing to endure on our behalf. And Lord, we thank You for the gift, that unspeakable gift, that greatest of gifts, that of salvation that was provided through Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for the songs that we've been able to sing. But Lord, now as we look into Your Word, may it be a blessing and an encouragement. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We will continue reading from John chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The unspeakable gift of salvation. One size fits all. You know, there are times that you buy something and it says one size fits all, but it really should say one size fits some. But we find that His gift fits all. We won't be back here to John, but if you would, 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 18 through 20. At this time of the year, it's more than just celebrating the birth of Christ. It's celebrating why He came. Because if He just had come and then had gone back to heaven without having died on the cross, then we would be miserably lost in our sins. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice verse 20, Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. To the book of Luke, if you would, chapter 2. As Christmas Eve and Christmas Day come upon us, may I encourage you at some point in time to read either from Matthew chapter 1, the story of Jesus and His birth, or in Luke chapter 2, the story of Jesus. Yes, it's nice to get together and to give gifts, and I'll be honest, I can't wait to give Donna her gifts. I can't wait to give Joey his gift. I want to get that thing out of the house. You say, well, why? Because when you walk by him, he begins talking to you. And I have to look around and think, what is that? What's that? And then, oh, okay, it's Joey's gift. But you know, gifts are great. But never, ever forget the reason for the season. And that is Jesus Christ. In your mind's eye, ponder what we're going to read. Don't just let me read the words to you. In your mind, ponder it. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Taxation. The burden or the curse of mankind. I understand that our governor and some of our legislators are wanting to tax online purchases. Because so many of you are now buying things online that the stores aren't getting as many taxes, and so they want to get their hand in there. Taxation, isn't it a great thing? And they always say it's for roads. Or it's for schools. Or now it's we have to have protection in our schools. It's for police officers and firemen, and it's good to have them, I agree. It's for all kinds of things, and taxation is just part of life. He traveled from Nazareth to Galilee. Do you find it interesting? It says he went up, which makes you think he's going north. Kind of like Mrs. Weeks coming north to Michigan. How many of you think Mrs. Weeks should move back to Michigan? Yes, you see the hands. You're outvoted. But the fact of the matter is, anytime you went to Jerusalem, you were going up. You went up to Jerusalem. And from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 100 miles. Now, how many of you would like to walk 100 miles? Now, there may have been a donkey. And how many of you pregnant women would like to ride on a donkey for 100 miles? I tell you what, it's not like today where you get in your car and you drive 100 miles. I mean, that's bad enough if you have to drive around in Sterling Heights in Utica 100 miles. But the fact of the matter is they traveled about 100 miles. Now, we don't know how long they were in Bethlehem before she had a child. Most of us think, well, they arrived and she gave birth almost immediately. We don't know. Henry Haley, in his book, Haley's Bible Handbook, writes, a decree of Rome requires Joseph and Mary to go to Bethlehem just as the child is to be born. Thus, God makes the decree of a pagan empire to be the instrument of fulfilling his prophecies, unquote. You know, the fact of the matter is Christ could have been born in Nazareth and he could still have been our Savior. But the problem is that God had prophesied it through the prophet Micah that this child was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so somehow Mary has to get to Bethlehem. And so a decree is made of taxation, and so away they go. It is still debated what year and month Jesus was born, and even the location of that birth within Bethlehem. The year was probably 5 BC. That's probably when he was born in 5 BC. The month was probably September or October. The shepherds were still in the field, and taxes were usually collected after harvest time. So you say, well, why December? Well, to compete with pagan religions, with the Festival of Lights and the winter solstice celebration. But where in Bethlehem was he born? Some say the Church of the Nativity, one of the oldest churches in the world. One unique feature of the Church of the Nativity is the 4-foot entrance into the door, or through the door called the Door of Humility. Now, how would you like to have to enter the Covenant Baptist Church through a 4-foot door? You'd be looking for the normal size door, right? It was built for defensive purposes during the Ottoman era to prevent mounted horsemen from entering. The low entrance also reminds us that no matter what status we may have in life, we must humble ourselves, just as the wise men did before the king who was born nearby. In verses 6 and 7, we read of the delivery. We know it was in Bethlehem because Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." Was he born in a cave? I don't think he was born in a cave. Was he born in a stable? Well, I don't want to mess up any of your theology here, but I don't think he was born in a stable. Well, you say, well, it's so cute to have the sheep and the cows and the donkeys. I don't believe that's where he was born. Was it at Migdal Edar, the Tower of the Flock, where the sacrificial temple sheep were born? Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? That if there are sheep that are born in Bethlehem that are then taken to the temple for sacrifices, doesn't it make sense that Jesus Christ would be born there? No room, it tells us in verse 7, because there was no room in the inn. Well, why no room? Due to her pregnancy, maybe they traveled slower than others and simply arrived late. Maybe there were those that were prejudiced against her because she was seemingly pregnant out of wedlock, and they didn't want her there. Maybe he was going home to family, and because other family members got there before he did, there wasn't room in the homes where they lived. But later, when the wise men show up, that's where they are living at that time. We're not told. But whatever the situation, this we know. Joseph and Mary have traveled to Bethlehem, and there Mary gave birth to the Messiah. And that's what's important, that Jesus Christ was born. Let's begin reading now at verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Hey, have you ever wondered, and maybe this has never bothered you. I get bothered by the simplest of things. like the last chocolate chip cookie is gone. Okay? But does it ever bother you that verse 14 ends with a period and not 17 explanation points? Does that bother any of you? I'm glad that a couple of you are agreeing with me. We're on a higher level. I throw that out. But while Mary is giving birth, two groups were about to have a marvelous gathering. Shepherds were watching their flock by night. Remember this, that shepherds were the lower class citizens of society. They were the ones that couldn't get any other job, and so you go out to the field and you watch those sheep. Now, are sheep smart animals? They're kind of dumb. And so you go watch those dumb animals. You keep them out of the rushing water. You keep them away from poisonous vegetation. You keep them away from those that would come and take them and devour them. That's your job. And it's most important at night that you gather them together and you put them in the fold. And so it's to these that the angels come and proclaim this marvelous story. So you have the shepherds, and then you have an angel with a multitude of the heavenly hosts. I have pondered this, and maybe you have also. Did they ask for volunteers in heaven to go to earth and to proclaim this? Do you think that? How many of you think they were volunteers? Nobody. You are all wrong. No. It could have been simply said, you are going to go and declare this great truth. Now, I don't know in heaven if there are going to be any video replays. Okay? Now, I don't believe we're going to see a video replay of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning fiery furnace unless it brings glory to God. Now, it could, but remember, in heaven, it's going to be bringing glory to God. So it's not so much what man has done, it's what God has done. But it would be interesting to see a video replay of the angels coming to these shepherds and explaining what has happened. One of our neighbors had invited us to go to their church's live nativity scene. And so Don and I went. It was 75 degrees below zero. Well, it felt that cold. And we wander through the different displays. And when we got to the shepherds, they were there and they were watching the sheep. And I noticed they had a number of disco balls hanging from the trees. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's this all about? Disco balls. And all of a sudden they turn on the lights. And it was bouncing off all the lights of the disco balls. And it was really sharp, wasn't it? In fact, that was the most exciting thing about the whole thing, other than the popcorn and the pretzels that were covered with chocolate and the hot chocolate. What did you have? Tea? Okay. Can you imagine suddenly the angel is there and the lights are shining? What a glorious thought. You've probably all have heard this, especially if you've been coming to church for any length of time. You've heard the angels have departed and the shepherds are left there, mouths opened. And someone says, did you see that? What'd you see? What did you see it? And so they want to make sure that they didn't see it all by themselves, but they all had seen it. But the angels have declared a great and glorious thought. It says there that glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to man. It says, behold, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to you shepherds. Doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say it will bring glory to and good tidings to you that are living in Israel. No, it shall be to all people, to each and every one of us. Now, I want to tell you something from my heart. We live in a spiritual battle. God has provided a way of salvation, but the enemy doesn't want you to know that. And so he tries to capture the holiday season with other songs. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Or Mother Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Oh, what did I say? Mother. Oh, grandmother got ran over. Somebody got ran over by a reindeer. Yes. You know, wanting a hippopotamus. Okay? We're dashing through the snow and we're decking the halls and whatnot. But you know, this time of year is not really about the wreaths and the lights, and though I like wreaths and lights, it's not about the gifts, and I like gifts. The Christmas cards and all that. And so Satan tries to blind the eyes to what Christmas is really all about. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about Mary. Mary was a special woman, but she wasn't perfect. She had other children, and she died. It's not about Joseph, and I tell you what, it took a lot of guts for Joseph to believe that his espoused wife had gotten pregnant by who? By God, by the Holy Spirit. But it's about Jesus Christ. So what does Jesus Christ bring us? He brings us salvation. What does Satan say? Well, we don't want to talk about religion in schools. If a city has a manger scene out, they have to have Frosty the Snowman and Santa Claus, and because, you know, we want freedom from religion. And so we try to hide it. Folks, it wasn't hidden that night. And the shepherds were told, this will be a sign unto you. In other words, what were they telling the shepherds to do? Go. Did you read my notes? Go. Go. How did they know where to go to find one? This one that had just been born. Could these have been the shepherds that worked there at the place where the sacrificial lambs were born? And so they knew exactly where to go. My opinion. But Christ came for one purpose. To redeem us. That was his purpose for coming. Everything else is just gravy. Thank God for his unspeakable gift, that of Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you accepted that gift? If you never have, you can do so today. And you know what? It's free to you. It's already been paid. Shall we stand together? Number 17 in our hymnal will be our song of invitation. Have thine own way, Lord. Jesus was willing to allow God the Father's way in his life, and we should be willing to allow the Lord to have his will in our life. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we again thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to be here and to tell the story. And Lord, we just pray now that your will would be done at this time. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.